From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Yes, TGIF. I'm thanking God it's Friday, but I thank God for every day. So glad to have you tune in. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thankful for you, my friends. And we have so much to cover this morning. And I first want to introduce my co-host for the morning is Pastor Lou. Woohoo! Wooten.
I feel like I'm back in high school again. Yeah, well, good morning, everyone.
Glad to have you here. And we've got a lot to cover this morning, a lot of information. And yesterday I told the listeners, get out your pencil or pen and a pad of paper because you're going to want to take notes and have active items to do. And we certainly have lots to do in our day today. There's a lot going on. There's hope in the air, even with all of the bad news and the stuff that's happening that we don't agree with and our unconstitutional things that are happening towards our liberties. There are things that we can do, and I'm very proud of the individuals, and I just want to do a shout out to my new friend Cassie and some of the others that are taking their passion and they're actually doing something with it, and they're staying in tune and they're connecting, and I'm very honored to have that kind of connection with people who are willing to stand up, to learn, to do things that are teachable. And there's so much going on. And I want to start out with the fact that our legislature is seeking to curtail Kate Brown's lockdown. This is an article, Lou, that's in the Northwest Observer. And I encourage people, northwestobserver.com is a great source of what's kind of happening at the Capitol and what's happening in the state. In this article, I put a link on our Facebook page at KSLM Radio. Legislators seek to curtail Kate Brown's lockdown. Bills have bipartisan support. So a new round of business shutdowns highlights unbalanced government authority and has prompted reaction from the Oregon legislative branch. In response to the new shutdown orders from governor's office, House Republicans today are considering pulling bills to the House floor to bring up proposals with sponsors from both parties that will roll back COVID-19 executive orders or require additional accountability. The announcement follows the bipartisan actions of the legislatures in New York, Texas, and Michigan, where state lawmakers seek to restore balance to government decision making. So here they are. HJR 18, which is ending, it's like a one sentence, and we've done some action on that, says we're just going to end the emergency order. HB 2243 requires that declarations and extensions of state emergency under certain statutes be accompanied by written explanations. HB 3177 limits types of restrictions that the governor may impose on certain businesses during the state of emergency related to COVID-19 pandemic. HB 3350 prescribes requirements for providing education to students with disabilities during COVID-19, and HB 3243 provides that civil penalty imposed as a result of violations of COVID-19 emergency rule becomes due and payable 50 years after the order imposing penalty becomes final. And so this is a long list and a great article that will certainly help all of us hold our accountable. And Lou, we've talked about this because at the River, we've been doing the Liberty First University classes, right?
That's correct, yes.
And we're talking about the balance of power between the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the judicial branch.
That's correct.
It's been way out of power.
It's way out of power. Well, the balance is, you know, balance is important to everything. God set up things on purpose, but you have to have those balances. Even as a church, you know, we have to have a governing balance. You put all the power into one person's hand, you have monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you have one person that's making a decision for your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want somebody, I don't want somebody making a decision for me and my family.
Right.
As the head of my family, I still defer to my wife.
She's kind of the Holy Spirit in the family.
Yeah, I may be the head, but she's the neck that turns it. You know what I'm saying? And so, as a result, it's actually. I was listening to this about several men in history. You know, you have General Knox. You know, who Knox was?
Fort Knox.
Yeah, in Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. Do you know what his contribution to the war was? Is that he was a bookkeeper.
Oh.
And he went and got the munitions for mm-hmm. the war in Boston to where they didn't even fire a shot and won the battle.
Incredible.
And, you know, you look at humility. That's where I'm going at, is the humility side of it is that to be part of a team, and, you know, if you've played on any sports, you do what you're asked to do, even though you don't necessarily believe it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You do it out of humility. You say, that's for the whole of the team, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And when you have the separation of branches, what you're doing is you're saying, you're putting people in places of humility to serve out of humility. And so they make a decision based off of what is correct for the people, not for themselves, not for their own agenda. And so what has happened is there's been a removing of that, and there's been a putting in of, well, this is what our agenda is. I owe somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to owe this one person. If all I owe is you, then I serve you.
Right.
But if I owe the people, then I serve the people. So the separation of branches was to make sure that the people, their voice is heard.
Yes.
And even that has been removed from us here in Oregon because they shut down the whole Capitol. You
yes.
can't even go in to any kind of legislation. And it's illegal as can be.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Because it's not their house. It's our house.
It's our house. And we've had some conflict over that and a lot
too
of frustration
much, yeah.
a little
yeah.
bit. And so one of the other things, so with that, I want to encourage folks. And again, I want to say email me. And I had about probably 8 or 10 folks email me yesterday wanting emails of the House committee to get these bills out of the House, especially the joint resolution. You're welcome to do that again. Stacey, Stacey at KSLM.news. Email me and I'll send you that active what to do now,
right.
who to write and all of that. The other thing that's going on right now, and I've got David on the phone right now to talk to us, and I want to talk a little bit with him about what, as a citizen, what we can do and the strategy behind this. Now, I've had some folks, and I'm going to welcome him. Good morning, David. Welcome to the conversation. How are you today?
Good. I'm great. Good morning.
Thank you for coming on the line with us and talking a little bit about the progress that's going on. I've been hitting the drum pretty hard this last week about Restore, Stop the Abuse and Restore Oregon and the citizen petition. Talk to us a little bit about why it's so important and how it's different than, like, because I've had people say, I'm not signing that. It does nothing. Let's tell everybody what it does do.
Well, our mission is to provide an avenue and provide tools, if you will, to counties and cities across Oregon to push back on these unconstitutional executive orders and really any law that gets passed out of Salem that conflicts with higher laws,
mm-hmm.
Such as the Oregon Constitution or the U.S. Constitution.
So the idea is similar to what the mayor did in Baker City, right, where they would declare a resolution from their place of government back to the governor. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. And the reason for the petition is if you go before a city council or a county commission, it's the first thing those county commissioners want to know, or their city councilors want to know, is this supported by a lot of the people within our jurisdiction?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And so our goal is to gather support from the citizens, businesses within those jurisdictions and present it to them.
Where are we at with the total so far that signed? Mm-hmm. I know you can e-sign at restoreoregonnow.org. And I know folks like myself, I've got like 6 or 7 personally pages filled out. Where are we at with numbers?
We're well over 10,000.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So
yes.
So the idea is, and I agree with you, David, when I lived in South Dakota and we did some grassroots organizing in South Dakota, the governor at the time, Governor Janklow, said, here's your issue. Where's your army? Where are your people behind this? And so we got organized that way and we made some great, we gained a lot of ground, even in South Dakota, where it's conservative. We gained some ground on some issues that were really important because we had the citizens' buy-in. And so a lot of times these folks think, oh, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. It does count, doesn't it, David?
It really does. I mean, we've seen it over and over again in election totals that were won by 1 or 2 votes or mm-hmm. 7 or 100 votes in the state of Oregon. And this is just a way for people to make their voice heard to their local government. And we believe if we apply pressure from the local government, the bottom up, if you will, we can change things.
That's incredible. And so people can still print off the signature sheet and take them around to businesses and friends and family or at the church or,
yeah.
or whatever. And then they scan them in and send them in to an email. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It's a citizen petition. It's not regulated by the Secretary of State. So we have a lot of latitude with that. We can leave them at businesses. We can leave it at the front door of the church.
But you don't have to leave it at the front door, brother. You can just bring it in.
Well, everybody does pass through the front door at least
twice.
You come through the side door, too, if you want.
Into the church and then back out into the mission field.
That's right. You got it. And so, so when is the deadline? When's the last day that we're going to turn all this in or start sorting it so we can take action?
Well, we have kind of a loose deadline. It's we're going to collect signatures for 30 days because we really want to get to work getting in front of these county commissions and getting in front of these city councils. But we're going to take signatures as long as they come in because it's going to take us a while to get. We've got well over a dozen counties right now that want to, they need something.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have is a resolution and an accompanying ordinance that was written by a lawyer friend of ours, sympathetic to the cause, and it's a template that mm-hmm. counties and city councils can use. So, you know, we hope to gather as many signatures as we can by May 19th, but we will certainly take them well beyond that.
Fantastic. Well, I know you're busy working on this, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning to talk about this petition. RestoreOregonNow.org to find out more information about this movement, not just in our area, but all over Oregon. It's important that we do our part, friends. You can sign right on the computer yourself. You can sign it right there on your phone. Bring it up. I'll put a link on our Facebook page. Is there anything else, David, that you want us to know?
Well, I guess the most important thing is that, see, everybody wants to do something. They know something's wrong, and this
mm-hmm.
is it.
This
Let's
is
do
it.
This.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that, you know, one of the frustrations I've had through the whole summer and everything else is, you know, 10,000 people want 10,000 things different done. And there's got to be humility that comes in. I got to put my ego to the side, and I've got to start focusing on one thing because we have an elephant to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to eat this elephant, everybody's gnashing their teeth on it, but nobody's, you know, it's not going to affect anything, you know. But once we take a big bite out of it, and, you know, then people are going to start paying attention. And I think if anything is good coming out of all of this is that, you know, Oregonians tend to be very suspicious and very independent. And out of this, people are starting to say, you know what, if we don't start working together, mm-hmm. ain't nothing going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're starting to see a movement that is coming out of this that I see that is causing people to work together. What do you see?
That's exactly what I see. I see people gathering, you know, with like-minded people for common cause all over the state.
Yeah.
And, you know, I continually see calls that people need to stand up, people need to organize, people need to do this and do that. And that's exactly the framework we're trying to offer to people.
Well, I appreciate your time, David, and I thank you for what you're doing and your team that's leading this effort. And however we can be supportive here at the radio station and myself and Pastor Lou, all of us working together, we're gonna hit the goal. Thank you so very much, and God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you, and thank you for your support.
You bet. So, friends, as we continue to talk this morning in regards to what we can do to make a difference and kind of stand up and stand strong against all of these, it's a tyrant. We'll just call it for what it is. Mm-hmm. Anytime you have all this power and you're controlling people, and what I'm hearing, Pastor, is folks are like, this just isn't adding up. The science isn't adding up. They're trying to throw out that there's a reason for this. It's just not adding up. What we do see is increased mental health and suicide ideation. What we're seeing is businesses overwhelmed by the fact that, okay, here we go again. I have to tiptoe around trying to figure out how to just, you know, keep my employees working and you know, our business thriving. And I put a post up on the KSLM radio page that I think is pretty significant of a business that says, we aren't closing down. We're going to try to figure out how to do this. We can't. I've got my house, even the title of my house, to secure this business idea. I've got everything on the line, and we're going to stay open despite this. Now, they might not do inside dining. They'll do some other things and do some stuff outside, but we have several businesses that are struggling and trying to make it, friends, and we've got to do our part to support and make sure that we are doing everything we can to help and assist. So we're going to continue the conversation, and here we're going to get the, I don't know why my commercials aren't running. It must not be. It should have been running a long time ago. Here we go. All right, so we'll get it going automatically on my own. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. dad and growing up here in Oregon, when we were growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. I had a wonderful childhood and didn't have a lot of money, but what we did was we'd go on long drives around Marion County and around Oregon. I have great memories of the twists and turns and the beautiful valley views that we have. We live in an incredible, incredible place.
We do.
And we can own it. We can participate.
We do, actually.
And
we do.
That's right. We do
own it.
We the people. Yeah. And so we're going to continue the conversation this morning. We talked about what's going on at the State House and what's going on, how we the people are getting engaged to say, hey, we've had enough. This is done. And we're talking to our legislators and we're talking to the governor. And the thing that's happening right now is another election.
Yeah.
We got another election and we got the school board election. And I'm really excited to get my ballot in the mail. I just got it yesterday. Terry and I both filled it out. We got it all ready to drop off at the county. And we're dropping it off because I'm going to be gone the next several weeks. And I want to remind our friends, I'm going to not be on the air in the morning. I'm going to be going to see my family in South Dakota, and then I'm going on a mission trip in Costa Rica. So there's lots of transitions and exciting things around the corner here at the radio station. Excited about that and very supportive of that. But if you listen in on Monday, I won't be here. But keep me in your prayers as I'm going to Costa Rica on this mission trip. Pretty excited about that. But I've got my ballot filled out, getting ready to drop it off. Now, let's talk a little bit about that, Pastor, because there's some ideas about people just thinking you can just pop it back in the mail, and
no.
I'm a little concerned about that.
No, even, you know, any time that I vote, I've never voted by mail because, I don't know, it's too many hands, too many temptations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you wait till that last minute to go bring it in and put it in the actual, hand it in
mm-hmm.
by hand. Don't put it in the mail.
Right.
Too many hands touch things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, too many opinions with those hands. And so you never know what's going to happen. And so it's just better to be safe. Just bring it in and put it in personally. You know, I've said this before, any kind of freedom that you're going to have, it's going to cost. So if it costs you to walk past your mailbox, get in your car and actually deliver it, then it's worth the cost mm-hmm. to do that, or ride your bike.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I don't get back until around the 20th of May, so the election will already be over. But I'm thinking maybe I should have just Terry drop it off closer to the time now that I'm thinking. The main thing is to get it done.
Yeah.
Get it done. And don't, because 8 to 16% is the turnout usually.
Yeah, don't let your convenience override your freedoms.
Exactly.
And so that's part of the problem is everybody wants everything convenient, and then we end up signing our life away.
Mm-hmm.
With our phones, with you know, the TV even. You can't even watch TV unless you register your TV and agree to things. And so you end up, out of convenience, you end up signing things, you consent to things that you would never do otherwise.
And that's a great point. You know, we have the Constitution,
yep.
we have the Oregon Constitution, but when we get into these contracts with these corporations,
yeah.
we have no idea how we're signing yeah. our rights away.
I don't even want to get into that because you have somebody here.
Because
I could go a whole lot of thing on how they're going to change the Constitution through policy.
After this next break, we're going to bring someone into the studio, someone who's running from the school board. And leading up to the break, I just want to give a background. This is an important, important election that we're having right now. And I can't emphasize how important. Having been to the Safe School Summit last Saturday, it was... It almost made my stomach upset,
yeah.
Pastor, just all of this stuff. We didn't even talk about the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic.
No.
We talked about all of the agenda that's going mm-hmm. on in the plan. And a gal came up, Missy came up from Texas, from Fort Worth, Texas. She's a part of a Parents' Right in Education group there. And she has the playbook. She found the playbook from CDC, what they're doing
yeah.
and their whole agenda. And it's out there. It's published. It's not. They're not hiding it.
Yeah, it's also from the United Nations also.
It's incredible.
Yeah, the United Nations, because I've been to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And in South Africa, it's kind of the preamble to what they're going to bring to America.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier to buy a government in other countries.
Yes.
So they end up buying a government and start putting all of their things in, and they see what they can get away with and how it works. And they create a playbook in other countries, and then they bring it here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just, I knew of things. I've been saying for 7 years certain things were coming.
Right.
And, you know, even my congregation is like, Pastor Lou, you're being very political. You need to chill out. Mm. And then, you know, but as I began to do this, and then as the things began to unfold in these past, this past year and this, the year before, things began to unfold. They started going, you know what, this is a reality, because it's, you go to third world nations and, mm-hmm. and other countries, and, you know, you start seeing things that are going on, and it's just unrighteous. I mean, it is sick.
It is terrible in how they're manipulating. And now, the other night, President talked about how he wants to give free childcare, free pre-K schooling, free. Well, there's a cost to be paid. Mm-hmm. And it troubles me to hear these things going on. And so this is why we have our opportunity to own, again, our responsibility to get engaged in the process. And right now we have a school board election. And on Monday we had Carrie Zoner in the studio, and she had a wonderful interview. It's at KSLM.news. If you didn't get a chance to listen to her interview and learn about her as a candidate, she is on our podcast. She's in Zone 1. Linda Farrington, her interview was on Tuesday. She is from Zone 3. And then we had Liam Collins yesterday. I believe that was yesterday already, or the day before yesterday. Liam Collins, that's what it was on Wednesday. And he is a great example, too, of a school board. And then in the studio that we're getting ready to introduce here is Mike Slagle, Zone 5. He'll be joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in today. Want to say thank you to Safe Air Network, safeairnetwork.com, for being a morning show sponsor. Bring clean, safe air and surfaces to your home, business, school, church. Today, go to safeairnetwork.com. And in the studio is my new friend, Mike. And Mike, I am so glad to have you here. You are running for Zone 5. On the school board, Mike Slagle, and you are MikeForSchools.com is your website. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and why in the world would you be running for the school board?
Thank you, Stacey Ann, and it's an honor to be here with you and Pastor Lou today. One of the reasons I got to be on the school board is I was listening to your radio station, and I'm walking down at the waterfront, and I do that every day since the pandemic. Listen to Mark Levin or whoever, and then I got a text message saying, hey, do you want to run for school board? Are you interested? So I looked at it for a day, and then the next day I was out on my walk again, and I responded because God had been talking to me about it. I've been listening to everybody saying that if you want to make an impact in your mm-hmm. community, to do so. And I replied back, yes, and well, here I am today.
And here you are,
yes.
And you are a longtime Salem resident. Give a little background of who you are and kind of what you do and in your fun spare time.
Sure. Yes, I was born here. My mother was here, raised me here. She went to North Salem High. Actually, my family came over the Oregon Trail 160 years ago.
Wow.
And we've been in this area ever since. Mm-hmm. My kids are still here in Oregon. They both graduated from Salem Kaiser Schools. And I have a granddaughter that's attending, and I have one on the way.
Oh.
So I want to make sure that they get the proper education. That's one of the reasons why I'm running. It's part of my history. I work for a small company here. I've been there for 18 years. Really love it. I coach in the area. I volunteered at North Salem for quite a while. Now I'm out at Silverton High on paid staff, mm-hmm. where I have a game today at my alma mater at McNary High.
Woohoo!
I'm a sports official. I officiate football and basketball. I really enjoy that, and I've connected with so many people by doing that. I've got a pretty good network of people just from being an official mm-hmm. and a coach. So I've been to every high school, every middle school in our district, and I've seen. Well, actually, I've seen recently that the bond measure that's built all these schools up out in my zone over there. I see Mary Ayers getting all these new buildings put mm-hmm. up. It's amazing. It's good to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Thank you for tuning in today, friends. 58 degrees right now at the KSLM studios. It's going to get up to 67. We could see some rain on and off today, this afternoon, probably about 4 o'clock or so, when, and maybe when you're wanting to take a walk after work. And we need the rain. I'm not complaining when they say April showers will bring May flowers. It's May Day tomorrow. Already.
It is May Day tomorrow.
I am hanging out in the studio. Pastor Lou is here as my co-host, and I've also got Mike. And Mike, you are running for the school board. I am just so proud of you for saying yes. All of you in this Marion Polk County a slate of the four of you. It's been great to watch you work together. You all have different zones that you represent, but how it works here, if friends don't realize this, it's a little different than electing your representative, your senator, your representative. You actually represent that zone, but the whole city gets to vote for you, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Which, you know, and that's a good point, because my opponent, that's a current board member, tried to change that right before this election.
What?
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
I don't think it's a good idea. I think, you know, we can look at that as a community-based, you know, change, but I don't think we can just come in and change it without community input.
Well, I do think that having you represent the whole city, because you're affecting students from all around, it does make sense to have it that way.
Correct.
What I'm hearing from parents is a resounding, let's get back into class.
Right.
5 days a week, let's get back to it. Let's do this thing. And the other thing I'm hearing in regards to sports is that all the students, doesn't matter what the sport is, should have a right to play or access to play.
Yeah.
Does the school board have some influence when it comes to sports and things like that as well, or is that kind of a separate thing?
Well, if we do, I'm not 100% sure how much influence we have. I would definitely advocate for that. I think sports are important. I'm involved heavily in sports, and it does have a place in our community and in our schools. It really is very important.
Sports was really important to me when I was growing up. You know, I was the only time that I was clean.
Yeah.
Is when I played sports.
Yeah.
You know, I played football. I didn't chew. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't do any of the things I did otherwise.
You got to be held accountable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when because I was going to be a, you know, pro football player.
Yeah.
So, you know, I put everything into it.
You look like you could be one.
and football is an important sport. And I just learned 2 days ago that there's a, they also do a different kind of lacrosse. They do lacrosse
here. Yeah.
In town. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
And you coach baseball.
I coach softball. Yeah, but lacrosse is not an OSA sanctioned sport.
Oh, gotcha.
But they do play for their school at schools.
At the schools.
Yeah.
Okay, so fast pitch softball is what you coach.
I coach fast pitch.
I played fast pitch for
I
many years.
The game.
Now, I never played for the school. I played in a league, and I learned so much through playing sports. And as I've gotten older, that's the thing I miss about spring, and I miss playing softball and going to games. So you have your games playing, you're coaching your team. How are they doing this year?
We're doing fantastic. I'm an assistant coach out at Silverton. I'm on paid staff out there, but we're doing wonderful. I got a diverse group of kids.
Good.
That you know, some have played a little bit, some have some experience, and we're having some success. But you know, the best thing about being involved with this is the field is my classroom. It's a different type of classroom that's in the school. You know, this is where we learn about life, how to have respect for one another, and how to compete and, you know, lose with grace and win with grace, and always be respectful to your teammates and the other team and the officials. I think it's very important for these kids to learn that early on.
Well, and what your point about the achievement and the winning and the losing with grace, what's so frustrating for me is to hear that they just passed at the State House for the next 2 years out of the Senate, no requirements for graduation.
Yes.
And I think that is a disservice to our students. Have you heard about this?
I haven't. I have not heard about that.
It just happened last week.
No.
And that they're going to do a study to maybe do away with requirements altogether.
Right.
And it's a disservice to the student.
No.
Well, yeah.
Why have school?
It's this whole participation. Everybody gets a certificate idea. And I think it's dangerous.
It's so wrong, because we have so many different levels of kids that learn at different. And what they're trying to do is level the playing field for everybody. I'm not for dumbing down the curriculum just to bring everybody up. I think we just need to provide different programs for different people that learn differently. We need to advocate for that and have families involved with that in this opt-in thing rather than opt-out.
And we need that equality of opportunity and to let the kids decide what they want to be involved in and help them and get behind them for success. We really need to refocus our whole school, the education, whether it be in private school or in public school.
How are they ever going to survive in life?
Exactly.
They can't.
Yeah, because, you know, everything in here, even a tree has to fight.
Yes.
For life. For life.
Water, yes.
Yeah, you know, and so then you come into this whole thing of, you know, everything's just given to me. Of course, that's the agenda. The agenda is that everything is given
correct.
To you. And then you become totally dependent upon the
government. Yes.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, I appreciate, you know, the sports side of it, the coaching side of it. I coach football. And, you know, to this day, the kids, even though they're adults, they still call me up and they say, hey, coach.
They call you coach.
They still call me coach.
And that's a great thing.
You know, and they say, you know, I've got this that I'm dealing with in life.
Mm.
You know,
oh, nice.
Can you help me out with this?
Relationship.
And that's the strong bond you build when you're with these kids. I've seen many kids I've coached 20 years ago, 10, 15, 20 years ago. They have families now. They're raising beautiful families, have kids, married, going to church. They're doing all the things that are right in the community, and I'm proud of them. Some have struggled, so, you know, I reach out to them once in a while and say, how you doing?
So you think that might transfer over into what you're doing as far as running for school board?
I think it does, yes. I think it does.
And what is your website again? We're wrapping up here.
MikeForSchools.com.
Thank you so much for being a part of our morning show today, and
thank
I look
you.
Forward to seeing you on the school board and getting behind you with our Parents' Rights and Education group.
Yes.
Supporting the good work that you're doing, Pastor. There's a big thing going on this weekend. Let's give a shout out to what's happening at the river this weekend.
The Second Amendment rally that's going on down there, barbecue and the whole nine yards, and that's at noon down there
at
the riverfront.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be one of the speakers down there speaking at that.
I got encouraged to attend.
Uh-huh. Anyways,
and then Sunday, what do we got going on Sunday?
Sunday, we start up our camp meeting for the whole week,
and that is just
a whole time of just setting aside and letting God really minister to people. And that's for the whole week, two meetings a day.
So 11
10
o'clock,
and 7, 10 to 7 all week long,
okay.
And 11 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay.
11 and 6 on Sunday. And welcome you to come. Tomorrow night we have our River Unplugged, where we have the coffee shop open. People, families are welcome to come. They can bring games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether you go to church or not, or you have a church. It's a safe place to bring your families, to sit down, have a cup of coffee, have some espresso or whatever drinks they serve. And then last week we did barbecue, actually, and we had that. And we're doing a little potluck thing where people come in and get to know one another in the community. It's so important that we have community right now with one another.
More than ever.
Church, I believe, is essential to community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've opened our doors to become community and welcome you all to come.
All right. And what's the website to find out about all this information?
You can go to theriverNW.com.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you for being my co-host today.
Yeah, it was fun.
So excited.
I enjoyed being on.
And next month, we're going to do, or when I come back from the end of May, we're going to do Fridays at noon.
And that'll be on our Facebook page.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes, the River
The River NW Church.
Yep, excellent. Well, thank you, friends, for tuning in today. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Lots of things to get engaged in and get involved with. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, KSLM.news. This will be up on our podcast. Grab the link and share about our candidate in Zone 5, Mike Flagel. He'll be on the school board. He'll be working for you and I. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and God bless the USA. Next to you and defend.